The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in action for the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk this Thursday, August the 22nd. Football season getting so close. We got two preseason games in action tonight. The Colts and Bengals have just kicked off. Meanwhile, the Bears and Chiefs start at 7:20. Definitely looking forward to seeing some action there. But there will be more action in the Caesars Superdome tomorrow, folks. An open practice for fans to watch the black and gold work out just like Tuesday night at Tulane's Yulman Stadium. You have to get tickets through the New Orleans Saints.com. I'm sure there's still plenty available to check out that session tomorrow. I was hoping to grab my little guy. I say little guy, he's 14 now, and at Rummel. But they're pretty stacked and busy at school, and he's got other things going on and cannot miss tomorrow's session. But I would love to have brought him out to the practice. Curious to see how many fans end up showing to that. And then, obviously, Sunday's the big preseason finale against the Tennessee Titans. Want to know who's going to end up suiting up in that one. How many of the starters will we end up getting to see in that action? Will Derek Carr in the first team offense get a few reps, or will they kind of step aside and let Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener take charge?
It's a fair question, Steve. And, you know, what do you think? I think that they should give a half to each of them. Give one half to Haener, and one half to Rattler, and keep Carr out. That's what I would say.
I'd still like to see one more good series from the team. So from the first team offense, a la that, you know, that big 95-yard drive. Yeah. Last game, I'm not saying it has to be a duplicate of that, but if you're able to move the ball down the field and get points, I would definitely like to see that from the first team squad, and then you kind of yank them out the game. But I just think that continuity and cohesiveness is needed not only for the offensive line but the whole offense, getting that new system with Clint Kubiak under his belt, who will be on the sideline this game after spending the last two games in the booth.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I could see that argument as well. As far as getting Carson more work, and then he will have played in every preseason game this year. That was something, as you were mentioning, like with the Bears, they're playing in the preseason. Caleb Williams is not playing in the preseason finale. I guess they've seen enough from him to know, yeah, he's going to be good to go. And he's shown some flashes as well for Chicago to get fans excited there for the regular season, and there's no real reason for him to play in it. It's just the quarterback two battle has been so back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Nobody has kind of grabbed the edge as far as Haener versus Rattler. And if, you know, it's that close, Noack had said this a couple weeks ago, that if it stays this close by the end of the preseason, you'll typically go with the veteran over the rookie, which means that Jake Haener will have the QB2 battle. But give them both kind of equal amount of time in this final preseason game, which is basically the last look, right? You have this third preseason finale, and then 2 days later, you cut the roster down to 53 players.
Right.
And at that point, you have to have things separated. You have to have things figured out. And I think they're starting to get to that point. But this QB2 battle still is neither one of these guys has really pulled ahead. I think that, yeah, if Carr wants to get more reps in, sure, in this final preseason game.
Right.
I don't know how much he would play, because I still think that they want to see a lot from both of those two guys in this final kind of showcase, so to speak, before we get to the regular season. That's really what I want to see. As far as offensive line, as you kind of mentioned, Taliese Fuaga was back out there at practice today, which is great. And Jeff was saying that, you know, they weren't obviously ramping up intensity for him or anything like that. It was just kind of a normal day. But at the same time, that he should probably get some reps too at left tackle in this upcoming game against the Titans, just because he missed reps against San Francisco. That makes a bunch of sense to me. Obviously, you're still going to be testing out Ole Udo versus Trevor Penning at right tackle.
Right, that's another great
still
battle.
Still figuring out what's going to happen with the left guard spot that's up in the air. There's going to be different spots on this offense that you're going to see the starters play, I think, in, you know, this week three preseason finale against Tennessee. It'll be interesting to see if Derek Carr is one of them. I do think that you will see multiple starters play on the offensive line, just because you're still trying to figure out how it's all going to shape up. With one spot at left tackle, you're trying to get reps for Taliese Fuaga, and then at right tackle, it's kind of back and forth of, obviously, Penny's got the lead on someone like Ole Udo, but it's still a competition there. Same thing with left guard.
See, now, things are so close with quarterback that it's kind of You can go either way. I'm just curious that this is Clint Kubiak's offense now, and his pick was Spencer Rattler, so I could see him going that way.
It's true as well. And once again, both of these guys have a chance to really seal their case on Sunday.
One last final
great
impression.
Which is why part of me
right.
wants to see it be that way, like where you have Haener play the first half or Rattler play the first half and Haener play the second half.
Right.
But at the same time, if Carr says, yeah, look, I still need some more work. I want to, you know, play in this game.
Let us go out for two series.
Exactly. And then you can kind of adjust past that and still get the same amount of work for both players. You can just figure it out kind of on the fly. But this is the last shot. The preseason game against Tennessee, and then you'll figure out, okay, this is our backup. This is the guy that won the job. And the fact that it's taken this long is actually kind of exciting because both guys have been really good.
Talking about fantasy football after our first break with Chad Parsons under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Podcast Network, and a guy that I know that Saints fans will be eager to pick up. Probably got to be the first Saint off the board, huh?
Olave?
Chris Olave, yeah, wide receiver number one.
Absolutely, and I don't think there's really a close second. I think Alvin's going typically in the 50s.
And I guess now you have to be worried about his back injury, sprained back, whatever you want to call it.
He's not going in the early picks of running backs like he used to.
Right.
And we'll obviously talk with Chad about that later on. But yeah, Olave is definitely the first player off the board. As far as Saints players in fantasy football, not even really a close second.
Looking at Chris Olave, he spoke recently after Saints training camp practice, and he was asked what excites him about this Clint Kubiak offense.
It's a lot of great things to be excited about, but just being able to get into space, being able to get into the holes of the defense, I feel like that's a huge advantage for us this year and one of my favorite parts of this offense that's allowing me to take that next step.
So is Olave feeling that now Clint Kubiak's system is more suited for him than last year's system?
I mean, they kind of put me into different positions to be able to succeed, move me from the slot to the outside, running a lot of different combinations, a lot of different routes, putting me on the first read or the first read on the backside. It's just a lot of different things that this offense can do. So I'm excited to be able to play my role.
Does wide receiver one think that things are now simpler for him?
Yeah, it's a lot of easy routes, especially the first two preseason games. Clint been trying to get me the ball early, so I'm definitely excited. A lot of choice routes, a lot of 5 yard. You can get up the field, do your thing with it. But like I said, it's going to be a lot more easier to be able to be involved in the game instead of waiting or one quarter or two quarters to be able to touch the ball. So I'm excited about this offense.
I think a lot of us have talked about, too, we want to see more from Olave this year, Charlie, is that yards after catch, please.
And the space that he mentioned, the most exciting part about Clint Kubiak's offense, getting in space. And how do you get yak? You get it to your playmakers in space. And so we've talked ad nauseum about Chris Olave and the expectation for him this upcoming season. If this offense is going to work out, he's going to be a 1,300-yard guy.
Right.
You just call it what it is. And he's going to take that third-year step that people can expect from him. And if you're drafting him, we'll get to fantasy football talking a little bit here. If you're drafting him, you know, early on in fantasy football drafts, whether that be in second round, early third round, you're expecting him to be that type of dude, like to be a top 10 receiver at the end of the year as far as fantasy numbers go. And with fantasy, it's not just, you know, the yards, it's also touchdowns. And that's also the expectation, is you want to see Olave's touchdown numbers go up as well. And if you're getting it to him in space and he's getting the yak, watch him plunge into the end zone a couple more times this year.
Now, I know there were times last season that things were a little concerning between Olave and his quarterback, Derek Carr. A little bit of inconsistency, some blowups even on the field between the quarterback and the wide receiver. How does Olave feel that his timing is with Carr in year two?
We getting better, man. We getting better. Last year, we don't want to do what we did last year. So it's a lot more better to where we was last year at this time. So it's a lot of different things we got to improve on, a lot of timing routes that we got to, a lot of out routes we got to improve on, but we're working on that as days goes on.
Now, that's Olave and Carr. How does he feel that this offense as a whole is working right now?
We got a lot of key players injured. Jawan, AK, she been out. A lot of our, you know what I'm saying, people that's going to be involved in the regular season, we got to get more reps with them, so they've been in and out of lineup, a lot of players in and out, like I said. So we're just getting a feel for what we got in there right now. And when the season comes, we're going to be a lot better.
That's the big question, Charlie. It's like we really haven't seen this offense really fully get to do its thing because guys have been so hurt and sporadically.
And the next one that we have coming up here about Juwan Johnson, a guy that missed basically all of training camp until this week, and he's now back, but he's going to have to be a big part of it too. And once again, when we were talking about with Olave and how the expectation is for him to be a potentially 1,300-yard receiver, it's not really out of the question, Steve. He made a nice jump from year one to two as far as yardage goes. Now, the thing that went down for him in receptions was the yards per reception.
Right.
In his rookie campaign, he averaged 14.5 yards per catch. That's awesome. That's very, very good. Strong numbers there. It went down to 12.9. And as you mentioned, it was mostly because there was no yak. He would catch it and then go down because, I mean, tight coverage catches. But at the same time, with his receptions went up from 72 to 87, and the yards also went up because of the giant, jump in receptions. And that's what we've said about Olave, is that, by the end of the season, you could see this guy have 140 targets, 100, maybe even upwards of 150 targets. And so if he finishes with, let's say, 100 catches this year, maybe a little bit less than that, like, he doesn't take that huge of a leap, let's say, be on the cautiously optimistic side and say anywhere from 90 to 95 catches this upcoming season in his third year, which is a breakout year for him, you're going to see him be around that at least 1,300-yard mark. And that's exactly what you need to see from your wide receiver one.
Yeah, you want to see that steady climb from him. Another guy that was steadily climbing was tight end Juwan Johnson, like you mentioned. He's back now off a physically unable to perform list. Had a bit of a down year, obviously, last season. Didn't perform up to all our expectations. We were blowing him up, seeing what he was doing at training camp, thinking he was going to be a fantasy stud. But Chris Olave was asked, now that Juwan's back, what does he do for this offense?
Yeah, Juwan's a really good player. I feel like he's underrated at times, but he just brings a spark. He's going to bring a receiving threat. He could block too, so you can't really guard him with a linebacker or any of that. So, like I said, he's a spark to this offense. He's going to be a huge player in this offense going forward, and I can't wait to see how this offense uses him.
Now, Olave mentioned in that clip blocking, and the wide receivers for this Saints squad are asked to do that a lot more with Clint Kubiak. Has Olave gotten adjusted to having to block more now than before?
Oh yeah, I feel good, man. you know, I'm not used to blocking. I'm used to catching the ball, running the ball, scoring touchdowns. But that ain't really been working for us as far as the winning column the past 2 years. So just trying to add more to to what I can do, and just trying to stay on the field every play, being in play action, being in the run plays, not having to come out on the run plays. That's just something I added to my game, and I wanted to add it to my game after last year. So just being in the weight room, being strong, trying to hold my blocks, that's just something that I want to do this year.
Love to hear that from Olave. Obviously sounds like a guy willing to do whatever it takes to make it work, and said what we've been doing ain't been working in the win column, and they want to boost that, obviously.
It's the money year for Chris Olave. Let's get something done, man. Like, if he takes that step, I don't think that – and the issue is, we've talked about the offensive line and all the – how they basically have three spots filled in, and you still have two up for grabs, and you're, once again, 5 days away from the 53-man roster cut deadline. It's not a good sign. If Derek Carr has any semblance of time to throw the football – think Chris Olave is going to have that breakout year. So there's a couple things that are out of his hands, in a sense, Steve, as far as how efficient he can be in 2024. But that year three breakout that happens pretty often now for these top receivers, happened for Ayuk, by the way. You can kind of expect it, or you can foresee it happening for someone like Chris Olave and, a couple other guys around the NFL as well, entering their third years. And we'll talk with Chad Parsons here in a little bit, like Drake London, or even someone like Jameson Williams. Like, that was a good receiver class. And now they're getting to that all-important third year, and we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, and you hear from Olave talking about wanting to get stronger, beef it up. He did that last season, too, wanted to be more of a contested catch threat as well. So he recognizes his smaller frame needs to bulk up a bit so he can be that more physical receiver.
Yeah, he's not the biggest dude in the world, but at the same time,
still got speed, though.
He's got speed. He's really smart. That's something that's always talked about Olave, too, and it's true. He's a smart receiver and a good route runner. But you know, can you kind of enhance a couple other aspects of his game to where he's a complete receiver, despite his size, that he can still put up huge numbers in the Clint Kubiak offense?
That training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Up next, fantasy football talk. Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network. Want to hear from you on the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line if you got a question. 504-260-1870. We shall return right after this on WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Preseason ball going on tonight, wrapping up the final week of exhibition play. Hallelujah. We are that much closer to the real thing, folks. And you know what that means? Fantasy football draft time, at least for me. Some folks have gone early in their drafts already. I like to wait a little, but we're getting ready for some drafts next week with the end of preseason play. Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network, now joins us as we get ready for some do's and don'ts, I think, of this fantasy football season. How you doing, Chad?
Excellent. It's fantasy season, like you said. We got college football this weekend, a couple weeks away from the NFL.
Yeah, feeling good. And I know there's a lot of different strategies when people go into these drafts. But just curious for you, is it still the overall belief in PPR leagues you want to go after that top wide receiver now? I know it used to be you wanted to get that bell cow running back.
I think it really depends. You know, if you're at the top, Christian McCaffrey basically is like two players in your lineup. So I think, you know, if you're up at the top and you have an opportunity to get McCaffrey, and sometimes he's falling to two or three just because people are a little worried about the calf injury. But I think in the middle of the first round, yes, wide receiver there late in the first round. I think you might circle back to a running back or two. Guys like Saquon Barkley, you know, are falling to that later first round. So I think it really depends on your draft position in the first round.
One of the more interesting things to follow, Chad, has been, like, obviously the contract situations of these huge name receivers like CeeDee Lamb and now Ja'Marr Chase kind of getting involved too, but also Brandon Ayuk a little bit further down the board. I know those first two guys are bona fide first round picks, but are you kind of concerned about these contract negotiations, especially with someone like CeeDee Lamb, who I've seen going 101, 102, at latest like 105 in some drafts?
I think he used it as a tiebreaker. I think CeeDee Lamb versus Tyreek Hill, I would definitely go Tyreek Hill just because we don't have really any contract situations, any question marks about missed games in that variety. But I think CeeDee Lamb versus, say, Ja'Marr Chase, we have big questions about Justin Jefferson. Yeah. You know, and Ja'Marr Chase is paired with Joe Burrow, and we don't really know how that wrist is going to go. It's a very unique injury for an NFL quarterback. So I would still go CeeDee Lamb over those options, but Tyreek Hill for me is my wide receiver one.
Yeah, when you're looking at Chad, you mentioned obviously Christian McCaffrey, that dual threat, the running yards, the pass catching yards. There's been a little bit of a worry, like you said, with the injury of him being that number one. If you got the number one pick in the draft, I've heard some people speculating, oh, do I go Breece Hall? Do I go a Bijan Robinson? Well, I think those guys are obviously still in that elite mix. It's just really hard to pick up McCaffrey, even though he was obviously the top guy in fantasy a year ago.
It is such a strong offense and the perfect mix, you know, between talent and situation there with Christian McCaffrey. So I think even if you have a little bit of injury risk there, but all the injury insiders are saying, hey, not really a big deal here. They're resting him during August, and this should be fine. Breece Hall is the one name, though, that I think when you talk about receiving upside, perfect storm, Aaron Rodgers healthy, you know, we're kind of envisioning that this year, that he's the one guy that I think can put up 20 plus points per game and really challenge McCaffrey if both are going full throttle.
Looking at the wide receiver spot some more, what's your take on a guy like Chris Olave with the Saints? We're here in New Orleans, so obviously have a huge interest in him. I'm sure he's going to go in local drafts a lot higher than he actually should. But taking over now that wide receiver one role, what are his expectations in fantasy for this season?
I've been the biggest fan of Chris Olave. It seems like I'm on an island. He is so efficient when you look at gaining targets, earning targets, as I say, and then producing on a yards per route run basis. So I think with Chris Olave, the biggest thing is touchdowns. You know, he's had nine touchdowns over two seasons. And if he bumps that to 7, 8, 9 this season, which a guy that's clearly the number one option, they've done nothing behind him so far. Why, you know, tight end is question marks. Hopefully Juwan Johnson's healthy. But the point is Olave is going to own this passing game. And so everyone wants to rail on Derek Carr. I'm more of a Derek Carr apologist, but I just think players this good like Chris Olave typically have that breakout season eventually, and year one, year two has been fabulous for Chris Olave. So I think eventually touchdowns will go his way, a couple broken tackles or bigger touchdowns, and I just think that he's going to be one that splash season of top five, top ten is in the works because everything usage-wise is right there for him.
That's refreshing to hear just because I think like most people think we're homers here talking about Olave up so much.
No, I agree with you 100%, Chad. I think he could be in for a huge season where, you know, yes, if the touchdowns go up, he could be a star in fantasy. But at the same time, 1,300 yards would get you a lot of places in fantasy football, regardless in PPR. But as far as, you know, year three breakouts, it seems to be kind of the trend for receivers. And we already mentioned Olave, but a couple other guys that are going really high in drafts as well. Garrett Wilson for the Jets and also Drake London for the Falcons. I think those two guys could be in store for huge years as well.
Absolutely. I will say one thing about Garrett Wilson. He's going so high. You literally have to take him sometimes in the first round, at least by the early second round. And everyone wants to say, well, the quarterback situation has to be elite. Well, Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay was not elite. And so Garrett Wilson, everyone complains about all these other quarterback situations, but Drake London and Chris Olave have been better. And they're actually cheaper when you look at later in the second round. Heck, maybe even in the early third round, you can get those guys in draft this year. So I like the arbitrage of those other options versus Garrett Wilson, who has all the buzz. And again, he could break out. But Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old, coming off of a significant injury and coming off a poor year in Green Bay when he left. So two variables that I think those other two guys don't really have.
Looking at the tight end spot now, I'm just curious for you, is the old man Travis Kelce still the number one dude at that position, or can a guy like Sam LaPorta or Mark Andrews from Baltimore unseat him?
Yeah, it's so deep this year. I mean, I think it legitimately goes 6, 7, 8 guys that you wouldn't be surprised if they finished at tight end one. But I think you have to keep going Kelce. I think when you look at the speed of Xavier Worthy, when you look at the speed of Marquise Brown, but the Chiefs are adding notable field stretchers to this offense. And Kelce, he's going to own underneath with Rashee Rice. So I think you go with Kelce, you go with that pedigree, you go with that combination with Patrick Mahomes, and let everyone else take some risk and say, you know, I'm trying to be tight end one with a lot more variables, because Kelce has been there for most of a decade now, and tight end, it really is about those profiles that have been there, done that.
I keep reading about the people that say go zero running back, right? The zero running back strategy, right? Just push off running back until late, and then maybe you can get someone on the waivers or get some kind of contribution, and where you just stack your receivers and you have a good flex receiver as well, and you get, you know, a good tight end and all this other good stuff. But if you do decide to go with the zero running back strategy, are there any kind of sleeper running backs that you're targeting late in drafts?
Yeah, late just within the scope of, hey, we're still looking for starters, but we can wait a little bit. And one thing I looked at was running back 20 to 30. Generally, there's two or three guys that end up finishing in the top 10 to 12. Two guys this year right around running back 20 to 25, James Conner, Raheem Mostert. A lot of people think that Trey Benson and Devon Achane are going to take a lot of attention away from those veterans. Mostert was a top five guy last year. James Conner, no fall off for him at 29 years old coming in for this year when you look at last year's metrics. So Conner and Mostert, clear starters and less question marks than a lot of those guys around him. So if you're going to wait, whether that's your running back two, hey, maybe you go three stud wide receivers or a stud tight end mixed in the first few rounds. But James Conner, Raheem Mostert, get at least one of them, but both might be, you know, you can flex Raheem Mostert potentially in a team build. So that's pretty exciting.
Talking with Chad Parsons, you can check out his work Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Podcast Network. All right, things have been all rainbows and sunshines from us. We've been positive, positive, positive. I'm going to go be the Debbie Downer right now. Who are some of the guys you think maybe are going too early in drafts or even potentially you want to steer clear away from in fantasy?
Yeah, Garrett Wilson was one for me. Just I think too high, and you have to be really selective in the first or second round. You don't get many shots. I would also say the high level quarterback this year. Usually it's an expert league. You know, if you expert leagues, everyone tries to be the smartest guy in the room and everyone fades quarterback in general. But your home leagues, your typical leagues with friends and coworkers, quarterbacks are going to go early. They're the big notable names. But I would just say it's so deep if you're in a 10-team, 12-team league. We're talking about like Kyler Murray, you know, after 6-7 quarterbacks are already off the board, big rushing upside. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, huge passing potential there. Jaden Daniels is going outside the top 10. So I would just say, I know it's alluring to go after the Josh Allens, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. I love those guys. Right. But just I would say the general fade is the big name and very early in your typical draft quarterback.
One of those names that's just so alluring to me, but at the same time, it feels like a big swing, and if you miss, you're going to come up with a strikeout, is Anthony Richardson. Because this guy, yep, as you kind of mentioned with a couple other of those guys, has great rushing potential, great upside, an easy schedule, a favorable fantasy schedule at least. But the injury kind of concern, is that scaring you away from someone like Anthony Richardson?
I think, you know, your typical league, you need to take a big swing. Like, if he finishes as QB1, and for the record, I looked at, like, fantasy points per quarter because he had so many partial games and all of that last year. He was better than Josh Allen. He was QB1 when you say he's actually playing and he's actually healthy on a per-quarter basis. So he has that potential. Heck, as we're recording this, he led a touchdown drive here in the preseason, looked great going down the board there with the passing. So I would say QB6, QB7, it's a palatable point because the big names are off the board. So as long as you pair that, say, with a Jared Goff, you pair that with someone maybe with a higher floor outcome, a Kirk Cousins, someone like that, I think it's fine. But just know, this is a guy that, frankly, playing fantasy like 5 years ago, Richardson would have been like QB 10 to 15. Now he's QB 6, so that some of the value and some of the potential to win your league off of that pick is drained out.
Go ahead,
Charlie.
No, I was going to say, as far as the running back position, outside of like the top 10, I guess you would say, like those top two tiers that you can kind of separate guys that go in the first round, guys that still go early, second round, third round. If you're looking kind of more for a value pick in the fifth round, let's say, if you get some stacked receivers and you decide to take a quarterback early or a tight end and get a premium position there, I mean, what kind of running backs are you targeting in the middle rounds, that all-important 5 to 8 round range, where I think you might see guys like Kenneth Walker or Devon Achane, who's kind of also got really big bust and boomer bust potential, Josh Jacobs, guys like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned James Conner, Raheem Mostert. I think a couple more. Always go for the starting running backs that don't have a lot of name cachet or appeal right now. A couple later ones might be Brian Robinson out there in Washington. He's going to be the lead back. We'll see what Austin Ekeler provides beyond just being a pass catcher. And then Tony Pollard, he's going to be the number one option. I actually saw him this preseason, and he looked like he had his juice back. So, last year, not really a dynamic runner, and working through injury a little bit. So Tony Pollard in Tennessee, exciting offense. They've built a lot around Will Levis. So go towards those potential starting situations. Najee Harris is another one. So make sure you're getting a clear lead back in some of these backfields, because those are the ones that end up turning out more positively just because they're going to have a strong market share.
Chad, curious your draft strategy when it comes to defenses. Are you someone that kind of takes them a little early on, or you just wait to see what's left over and kind of play it the rest of the season, like week to week off the waiver wire?
Yeah, definitely one of the last guys. I'm always basically looking at week one because it's all about matchups at the defense position. And I would say the Bengals are one with a target matchup in week one. The Chargers, not projected to be that great, but they have two quality matchups in a row in week one and week two. So I would just target those guys. The Bears, the Vikings are another couple with optimal week one matchups. So go there. See what happens out there, and you're probably just going to churn them out by week two on your waiver wire.
Awesome stuff, Chad. Chad, how often do you put out the Under the Helmet Fantasy Show for everyone?
It's 5 to 6 days a week, and it's at least 4 days a week, no matter what. So you're talking fantasy. I'm getting a lot of beat writers in the off season here, and then when we get to the regular season, things like waiver wire, game recaps, and everything you need to know to help out in your fantasy league.
Definitely appreciate all your insights. Hopefully, be talking to you soon throughout the rest of the season, and definitely enjoy the rest of the preseason as we get ready for the real deal. Thank you, Chad.
That was absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Gotcha. Chad Parsons of Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network. Appreciate his time. You can also check him out on X at Chad Parsons NFL. I said X, Charlie. Do you refer to it as that or Twitter? I still go through this Twitter. Back and forth.
I still call it Twitter, but like sometimes I have to remind myself, oh, it's X or whatever. It's X is such a stupid name.
X.
Yeah, whatever.
We mentioned that obviously Anthony Richardson threw a touchdown pass. He also threw a pick six.
Oh. Yeah, the highs and lows of the Anthony Richardson train. But a touchdown still is more points than obviously, you know, losing points from an interception in fantasy football. Anthony Richardson's a weird one, Steve, because
that potential,
he's got that the big P word, potential. Yes, he can finish QB1 this year, and if you swing on him and you hit, you might win your fantasy league because he'll be putting up crazy numbers rushing and obviously passing. But at the same time, if you whiff and he gets injured or something bad happens, then, you know, you're kind of out of luck.
Another big P, Paul Skeens. We'll give you an update on him when we get back from the break on the Pirates 2 on WWL. One of the hardest working mans here in radio, Charlie Long, always busy chopping up audio, posting it, getting it ready for the website for you to see. So remember, remember you can get every episode of Sports Talk delivered directly to your phone for free. That's all 4 hours. It's one specific hour or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It is that easy. We realize can't always listen to this entire show live, so we make it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the shows that you love right here on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or you can just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Looking at the games in preseason action right now, we got Colts and Bengals tied up at 7 apiece at 13 minutes left till halftime. Bears and Chiefs have kicked off, and I'm looking at the stats, Charlie, and you see Chris Oladokun at quarterback for the Chiefs. So we know that starters are not in that game. But for the Bears, Tyson Bagent has run for a touchdown there, a guy we know pretty well from last season.
I recognize the name, Oladokun. I think he took snaps against the Saints at some point. I'll have to go do a quick, give the update on the Pirates. I'm going to go find this dude.
Oh, yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates are now jumped out to a 7-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds. Good news for Paul Skeens, who tossed six innings of obviously scoreless ball, allowed two hits, just one walk, struck out nine. Ooh-wee, big man, can't wait to watch the highlights on that. Like, I saw a few, and he was just topping 100 miles an hour a lot, and then they were just commenting, too. You get that with his off-speed stuff, and it's just ridiculous.
I think Oladokun, it had to have been in the preseason against the Chiefs last year. That's what I was thinking.
It rung a bell for you, right?
Right. And as far as Paul Skeens, that ERA, season ERA now down to 2.16. So
he's like, I'll show you rookie of the year odds.
9 strikeouts, 2 hits allowed. The whip was right back to it, giving up 3 base runners in 6 innings. That's a 0.5 whip for your start. I think that's pretty good, Steve.
I guess in my unprofessional opinion, why the odds have dipped on him might be time to put a little wager on it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a pro gambler either, but at the same time, if he's not the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, it's just like we were saying earlier, like Jackson Merrill. See, I got it right this time, not Jackson Churio. Jackson Merrill has been having a great year for the Padres, and the Padres are a playoff contender. They're in the NL wildcard race right now, and they're actually even contending to try and, you know, take the NL West from the Dodgers, potentially. We'll see what happens there. They're one of the best teams in the NL. But still, if you're talking about the best individual performer, it's Paul Skeens.
You mentioned betting, and next year I promise myself I'm going to do this little experiment where I'm going to bet the under on every preseason football game, every one, and just see how I end up turning out in the end.
I think they're set low, too, and they still go under occasionally. Like, the Saints preseason games are said 33, 37, somewhere in that general vicinity. Typically, regular season games are in the 40s, but the preseason's lower than that. And a lot of these games are still going under. So
yeah, I'm looking right now, Charlie, the Chiefs and Bears game. Where was that? Sorry, that's Oladokun stats. Chiefs and Bears, the over-under was set at 32.5, and the Colts-Bengals game, 33.5. So yeah, I would imagine most are hovering around that mark.
Exactly, but you're seeing all these games that are, you know,
17-13.
Exactly, 17-13, 17-10, 16.
Winner for the under.
Yeah, and they're all going under. There's not a lot of points scored in the preseason, and I would expect that for the Titans-Saints game, especially if, you know, starters aren't playing. You could probably see something similar where it's you're going to end up seeing a 17-16 game or 20-17 at the most, something like that.
Yeah, so next season, I'm just going to put $20 on every preseason game under and see in the end what I end up with in total.
fighting up against Vegas there, Steve. Good luck, buddy.
Going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping things up here on Sports Talk. Get ready for tomorrow in the Caesars Superdome. Saints open practice for fans at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more as we wrap up Sports Talk after this. I want to thank everyone for hanging out for us this Sports Talk, and had a little fun with fantasy football. It was definitely good to get back in the mix, air some things out as we get ready to do some drafts.
I still got my first round pick is the 8th overall in my fantasy draft next weekend. I got to do some prep for that. I have no idea who I'm thinking.
I was going to say, do you have anyone in mind at all?
The issue is that I don't know where some of those players are going to go.
Right.
Like how...
It's how the draft
like
shakes out for
we
you.
We talked with Chad, with CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase, like these top guys that could potentially be falling down in drafts because people are worried about their contract situations. I don't really know. Like
I'm definitely worried about Jets Jefferson with the quarterback situation too.
Yeah, with Sam Darnold. That's a good one too. But he said that, you know, Tyreek Hill was his QB1. I think that there's kind of a separation between Tyreek and maybe like Amon-Ra St. Brown is in a good situation too. Those top receivers are a little fickle, Steve, in fantasy this year. Get yourself a running back early on.
Exactly. Tomorrow's show, we're going to be bringing you the latest and greatest from Saints training camp in the Caesars Superdome. Hope to see you there, folks. Plus, Morton Anderson joins us. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night to everyone. One of the hardest working mans here in radio, Charlie Long, always busy chopping up audio, posting it, getting it ready for the website for you to see. So remember, remember you can get every episode of Sports Talk delivered directly to your phone for free. That's all 4 hours. It's one specific hour or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app and follow Sports Talk. It is that easy. We realize can't always listen to this entire show live, so we make it easy for you to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the shows that you love right here on WWL. Just download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or you can just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Looking at the games in preseason action right now, we got Colts and Bengals tied up at 7 apiece at 13 minutes left till halftime. Bears and Chiefs have kicked off, and I'm looking at the stats, Charlie, and you see Chris Oladokun at quarterback for the Chiefs. So we know that starters are not in that game. But for the Bears, Tyson Bagent has run for a touchdown there, a guy we know pretty well from last season.
I recognize the name, Oladokun. I think he took snaps against the Saints at some point. I'll have to go do a quick, give the update on the Pirates. I'm going to go find this dude.
Oh, yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates are now jumped out to a 7-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds. Good news for Paul Skeens, who tossed six innings of obviously scoreless ball, allowed two hits, just one walk, struck out 9. Ooh-wee, big man, can't wait to watch the highlights on that. Like, I saw a few, and he was just topping 100 miles an hour a lot, and then they were just commenting, too. You get that with his off-speed stuff, and it's just ridiculous.
I think Oladokun, it had to have been in the preseason against the Chiefs last year. That's what I was thinking.
It rung a bell for you, right?
Right. And as far as Paul Skeens, that ERA, season ERA now down to 2.16. So
he's like, I'll show you rookie of the year odds.
9 strikeouts, 2 hits allowed. The whip was right back to it, giving up 3 base runners in 6 innings. That's a 0.5 whip for your start. I think that's pretty good, Steve.
I guess in my unprofessional opinion, why the odds have dipped on him might be time to put a little wager on it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a pro gambler either, but at the same time, if he's not the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, it's just like we were saying earlier, like Jackson Merrill. See, I got it right this time, not Jackson Churio. Jackson Merrill has been having a great year for the Padres, and the Padres are a playoff contender. They're in the NL wildcard race right now, and they're actually even contending to try and, you know, take the NL West from the Dodgers, potentially. We'll see what happens there. They're one of the best teams in the NL. But still, if you're talking about the best individual performer, it's Paul Skeens.
You mentioned betting, and next year I promise myself I'm going to do this little experiment where I'm going to bet the under on every preseason football game, every one, and just see how I end up turning out in the end.
I think they're set low, too, and they still go under occasionally. Like, the Saints preseason games are set 33, 37, somewhere in that general vicinity. Typically, regular season games are in the 40s, but the preseason's lower than that. And a lot of these games are still going under. So
yeah, I'm looking right now, Charlie, the Chiefs and Bears game. Where was that? Sorry, that's Oladokun stats. Chiefs and Bears, the over-under was set at 32.5, and the Colts-Bengals game, 33.5. So yeah, I would imagine most are hovering around that mark.
Exactly, but you're seeing all these games that are, you know,
17-13.
Exactly, 17-13, 17-10, 16.
Winner for the under.
Yeah, and they're all going under. There's not a lot of points scored in the preseason, and I would expect that for the Titans-Saints game, especially if, you know, starters aren't playing. You could probably see something similar where it's you're going to end up seeing a 17-16 game or 20-17 at the most, something like that.
Yeah, so next season I'm just going to put $20 on every preseason game under and see in the end what I end up with in total.
Fighting up against Vegas there, Steve. Good luck, buddy.
Going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping things up here on Sports Talk. Getting ready for tomorrow in the Caesars Superdome. Saints open practice for fans at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more as we wrap up Sports Talk after this. I want to thank everyone for hanging out for us this Sports Talk and had a little fun with fantasy football. It was definitely good to get back in the mix, air some things out as we get ready to do some drafts.
I still got my first round pick is the 8th overall in my fantasy draft next weekend. I got to do some prep for that. I have no idea who I'm thinking.
I was going to say, do you have anyone in mind at all?
The issue is that I don't know where some of those players are going to go.
Right.
Like how...
It's how the draft
like
shakes out for
we
you.
We talked with Chad, with CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase, like these top guys that could potentially be falling down in drafts because people are worried about their contract situations. I don't really know. Like
I'm definitely worried about Jets Jefferson with the quarterback situation too.
Yeah, with Sam Darnold. That's a good one too. But he said that, you know, Tyreek Hill was his QB1. I think that there's kind of a separation between Tyreek and maybe like Amon-Ra St. Brown is in a good situation too. Those top receivers are a little fickle, Steve, in fantasy this year. Get yourself a running back early on.
Exactly. Tomorrow's show, we're going to be bringing you the latest and greatest from Saints training camp in the Caesars Superdome. Hope to see you there, folks. Plus, Morton Anderson joins us. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night to everyone.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.